When the Buddha describes the factors of the path, sometimes he gives prime importance to right view, and sometimes he gives prime importance to right concentration. As he says, the other factors of the path, from right view up through right mindfulness, are supports for right concentration. The right concentration he defines as four jhanas. The word jhana is derived from a verb, jayati, which means to burn with a steady flame. And there are states of concentration, which there's a sense of well-being and ease. The first one starts out with a sense of pleasure and rapture. In the second one, the pleasure and rapture get stronger. In the third, the rapture seems to be too gross. You want something more refined so that you let go of the rapture and you have just a sense of pleasure. And then finally, with the fourth, even the pleasure goes. But it's not replaced by pain. It's replaced by equanimity, purity of equanimity. And it's in that state that the Buddha was meditating on the night of his awakening. So it's obviously an important part of the path, getting the mind into concentration. When he describes the jhanas, he's basically telling you this is what they're like. He doesn't tell you how to do them. The instructions on how to do them are under right mindfulness. You focus on one topic, like the breath, and you put aside all thoughts with regard to the world. And you develop three qualities as you do this. One is mindfulness, the ability to keep something in mind. In this case, you keep the breath in mind. And also you keep in mind the fact that there will be other thoughts coming into the mind to disturb you. You want to recognize them and remember not to get involved with them. As for thoughts that are helpful in getting the mind to settle down, you try to encourage them. And you remember that you have to do that, and you remember how to do that. Then there's alertness. It's the second quality, which you're actually watching clearly what you're doing and the results that you're getting. And then finally, ardency, which is the effort to do this well. The ardency is what makes everything right, because it is possible to be mindful of anything at all. It's possible to be alert to anything at all. But when you're ardent, you're trying to do this skillfully, get the mind to settle down. So that's what you do. Stay focused on the breath and try to make the breath comfortable. Experiment for a while to see what kind of breathing feels good. And then when you find something that does feel good, stick with it until it doesn't feel so good anymore. Then you can change. You're trying to develop a sense of well-being here. Because as the Buddha said, we tend to be attached to our sensual pleasures, our thoughts about sensual pleasures. If we don't find an alternative source of pleasure inside, we're going to go running after our thoughts again. So this provides you with a sense of well-being. It's your food on the path. So fix your food well, and then enjoy it. If you go to a Vipassana retreat, sometimes they'll tell you, watch out for jhana. Your mind gets still, calm, there's a great sense of pleasure, and you're going to get stuck there. Well, getting stuck is not the problem of the jhana. The problem is not with the jhana, it's the problem with getting satisfied with it. And you can get satisfied with anything on the path. As the Buddha says, some people are satisfied simply by the fact that they can hold by the precepts. Other people are satisfied by their concentration. Other people are satisfied by their insights. They hold on to their insights. It's not the case that jhana is dangerous and insight is safe. It's a question of your attitude. And if you remember that this is a part of the path, it's meant to deliver you to something even better, then you don't have to worry too much about getting stuck. A group of students of the Abhidhamma who came to see John Fuang one time, they'd heard that he was a good teacher and they didn't know what he taught. So they came to see him and asked him, "What do you teach?" have them sit, and he's going to have them close their eyes and watch their breath. And they say, oh, no, no, we can't do that. Why is that? Because we're afraid of getting into jhana and getting stuck there and then being reborn as Brahmas. Brahmas are a very high level of deva. But as John Fung pointed out to them, what's wrong with being reborn as a Brahma? Even non-returners, people who are almost fully awakened, can be reborn as Brahmas. And then as he added, anyway, being reborn as a Brahma is better than being reborn as a dog. Making the point that if you don't have the pleasure of good concentration, it's easy to go back to your old fascination with sensual thoughts. And those thoughts can pull you down. So don't be afraid of enjoying concentration. The question is how to enjoy it, how to maintain it. And it's a combination of doing the work to keep the mind concentrated and enjoying it at the same time. If you just go for the enjoyment, things begin to blur out and you lose your foundation. So the trick is stay focused on the breath, and when feelings of pleasure come, allow those feelings of pleasure to spread around the body. The image the Buddha gives is of a bathman. Back in those days, they didn't have bars of soap. If you went to a public bath, there would be a man who would mix soap powder with water until you had a kind of dough. And if he was really good, he'd mix it in such a way that all the soap powder was moistened and there's no extra water left over. The same way the Buddha says you spread that thoughts, you spread feelings of pleasure around once you've developed them with the breath. Spread them around throughout the whole body. And then just try to maintain that sense of full body awareness, full body pleasure. Any thoughts come into the mind, just say, nope, not right now. I've got something better right here. I'm learning a skill. You put aside all thoughts about the world. Whatever's happening outside, say, that's not my business right now. My business is making sure that my mind is in good shape. A lot of times the people of the world say that if you're meditating, you're being selfish. But how can that be? You're putting your mind in good shape, which means you're going to oppress people less. You're going to be more sensitive to what's skillful and what's not skillful. And you won't be so dependent on the world outside for your pleasures. You take less from other people. So it's for everybody's good that you get the mind trained like this. For the time being, all that matters is the breath and your sense of the body, and allowing that sense of easeful breath to spread through the body, down the nerves, down the blood vessels, all around. Keep that sense of stillness going. Be alert and calm at the same time. And John Cumdee, one of the forest masters, compares this to being a hunter. Hunters have to be very still so they don't scare off the game. But they also have to be very alert. If they're just still and fall asleep, then the game can go right past and they wouldn't even know it. You have to be alert, sensitive, and still at the same time. And if the mind asks, then what next? You say, this is what's next, learning how to maintain this. Once you learn how to get the mind still like this, then you have to learn how to keep it there. And a lot of the disturbance is not going to come from outside. It's going to come from within the mind itself. And if there are any thoughts of boredom, any thoughts of dis-ease, just think of them vaporizing. You don't have to identify with them. Just see them as disturbances in your concentration. And that stillness is something you want to maintain. And if people accuse you of getting stuck on the stillness, remind yourself it's better than being stuck on thoughts of sensual pleasures. Because there's a sense of well-being that comes with this stillness that you don't need to take from anybody. It doesn't depend on things outside being a certain way. Unlike the pleasures of the senses, the world has to be just so for you to be happy. if that's where you're looking for your pleasures. And the world is very rarely just so. It keeps on changing on you. Whereas if you develop a good foundation inside, then you're safe. It may not be totally solid, but it's much better than things outside. It has a foundation for happiness. As for getting stuck here, just remind yourself, this is part of the path. Think of that image the Buddha gives of a raft you're taking across the river. You have to lean on the raft if you want to get safely to the other side. So you hold on. When the time comes to let go, you can let go. In fact, it's a lot easier to let go when you're on the other side than if you'd let go in the middle of the river. If you let go on this side of the river, then, as the Buddha said, there's dangers on this side of the river. But you've got that path. You've got that raft. You hold on to it and you keep on swimming. And it'll get you to the other side. And when you get it to the other side, when you let go, you don't let go out of dislike. Just realizing that the raft has done everything it can for you. But now you have no need for it anymore. And let it go with a sense of appreciation. So for the time being, it's okay to be stuck on jhana. Just learn how to do it. Learn how to enjoy it. And you find that it gives you an opportunity to understand your mind in ways you wouldn't have otherwise. One, because it's so still, so that any slight movement in the mind becomes easy to see. And secondly, because in order to get the mind to settle down, you have to understand your mind. Understand what it likes, what it doesn't like. How you can breathe in a way that makes it more interesting to be here. How you can ask questions about the breath that makes it more interesting, more pleasant. So you learn from the mind, both in trying to get it settled down and when it is settled down. If you have the right attitude, it'll take you to a point where you don't need it anymore. And meanwhile, hold on. Because otherwise you start grasping after other things. One of the images in the canon, you're going down a river. You try to grasp onto the grasses on the side of the river. And they cut your hand, they get pulled out of the bank. In other words, the things you could hold on to otherwise can harm you or else don't provide you with any sure safety at all. But this is safe. This is yours. How you feel the breath right now. How you feel your body right now. How you're aware of your awareness right now. Just learn how to be there. In the beginning, it may not seem like much, but if you stay here long enough, it develops, it grows with a greater sense of stability, greater sense of well-being. This is a good place to be. This is a good path to be on.